This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today, diverting from a lot of what you've been hearing about in recent days. We're going to talk to a candidate for the May primary in Oregon, running for the U.S. Senate. And yes, there is a May primary coming up. It's sort of getting back in the back end of the news segments these days. But Paul Romero, one of the Republicans running for the seat now held by Jeff Merkley. Paul, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
So I understand you live in Roseburg.
Yes, I currently do, yes.
So talk about your background, where you grew up, maybe college, military service, things like that.
Sure. My family moved to Oregon back when I was in the fifth grade, to Pendleton, Oregon, and we eventually moved to Prineville in the eighth grade. That's where I graduated high school, basically just involved in the outdoors, hunting, fishing, hiking, and everything. I went to college in Texas for about a year while I was a starving student putting myself through college, and ended up joining the Navy in search of the GI Bill. And after 4 years of that, I actually became a patriot and stayed in for another six. Eventually did get out. My kids needed me a little bit more than the Navy did. And went on to school to secure a degree in workforce education and development, and most of a double major in mechanical engineering and mathematics. So it's been quite a road, actually. It sounds pretty short, but...
Well, it sounds like you've had a lot of interesting things. So where'd you go career-wise?
Career-wise, was kind of a shotgun approach to a certain degree, but project management and training. Everything I've done, whether it's been in sales, whether it's been communications, has been a lot of training and education for people, which kind of led me into the degree in workforce education and development. If you don't have a good, solid workforce, well, what good are you? You know, and the ability to actually have a school-to-work program, but nowadays we actually need an adult-to-work program, something that actually gives people good stepping stones to get from here to a solid direction and solid purpose. So
talk about some of the things you've done job-wise.
Job-wise, wow, gosh, I've shoveled pigsties, I've bucked bales, changed pipe, all that character-building thing. So as a kid and growing up, heck, I've even delivered Domino's pizza in 30 minutes or less. I've been an investment executive for Payne Weber. Did a really good job in that. I really enjoyed that. Took some of my analyst skills into account. Been in the oil field service industry, which included everything from project management to material coordinator for projects. And here in Oregon, I actually was even an appliance repairman for A&E Factory Service, or Sears, and as a generalist. And then actually right now, I have a position with a company that's a startup company we're hoping to launch this year. It's kind of a big deal, and I'm actually having to hand the reins over to another gentleman as the COO. I'll still be the CEO. And once we get it launched, it'll bring some great jobs to Oregon.
So what is it called?
You Walk Today is the name of the company. And it's actually a combination of a walker with a wheelchair, but it also has an apparatus that protects the individual using it so that if they fall, they collapse, they get weak, it actually catches them and puts them to the edge of their seat. So the ultimate goal is fall prevention and also a safe platform for rehabilitation. It was originally set up for military people that are learning to use new prosthetics, things like that, but we found that the market is quite a bit more extensive.
So is that something that's being manufactured now?
Actually, we do have some, but we're looking to do the manufacturing here in Oregon. And as you know, with that gross receipts tax, that's kind of shying away our registration here in the state. You know, we may have to pursue another state registration and then just operate here as a foreign entity. That'll kind of minimize some of that effect. But the state of Oregon really needs to repeal that.
So when did you come to Roseburg? How many years ago?
Actually, I came to Roseburg back in March. I'd been back in Oregon since July 2014. I'd been trying to get back to Oregon, but the job market really wasn't too pretty, and especially for someone with my background and experience. But I really loved Oregon. I really wanted to be here, loved the outdoors. And that's why I finally made my way back, although it was kind of a painful transition.
So why Roseburg? How'd you pick this area?
Well, actually, that had to do with You Walk Today. I found an opportunity here and thought, well, you know, I'll go pursue that and see what comes of it. And I helped them with an audit and rebuilding their business plan, going with a whole new direction. And all that's looking very promising. And also, you know, where I'm living now here in Roseburg, I got a great view and just really like this. It's just a nice, small, quiet little town.
So political interest, you've done a lot of things, been a lot of places. When, how did you get the bug politically?
You know, when I first got out of the military, when I first got back here to Oregon, actually, I was part of a group in Prineville, and they were talking about getting a new candidate to run against the current incumbent. And they said we needed somebody who was not a career politician and somebody who would step up. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, that's what we need, yeah. And then one of my mentors pulled me aside and said, you know, PJ, you should run. And I said, no, I'm not a politician. He said, well, that's why you should run. He said, you know the issues, you understand this, and you'd be the right person for this. And so I looked into it, and the family was supportive, so I stepped into the arena. But it's a pretty steep learning curve. My first run out of the chute was late March 2016, and I had about $6,000, mostly my money. And in the end, I ended up with 20% of the vote, which was, to me, quite a victory considering my opponent spent millions. You know, there's a better way of getting the voters to vote for you without being exorbitant in what you're spending for the actual campaign.
And what race was it in 2016?
That was actually a race against incumbent Greg Walden for CD2. And I ran against him in the next cycle. But again, I'm not really, you know, I'm not really a politician. I've not really been in a major campaign. So there's this learning curve that no one really wants to tell you about. There's a lot of bumps in the road, and the more you get to know, the better you get. And this last cycle, I was actually, when I moved to Roseburg, I thought, well, maybe I'll look into CD4. And I liked a couple of the candidates that are actually running in CD4. I thought, you know, maybe I'll just help out. And then I got a phone call, and someone asked me to consider running for the U.S. Senate race. And once I looked into that, we went into full-on gear. I mean, we sat down and made a strategy to actually win that race, not only the primary but the general. But also we had a strategy to win the state legislature that we were going to implement in the course of that.
So a lot of people would look at that and say, okay, why start with the House or the U.S. Senate? Why not start at a state or local level?
Well, the first thing I guess I'd say is take a look at our president. We have way too many politicians that they get into office and they tell you what they're going to do. They get into office, they don't accomplish that, and then the first thing they tell you is, well, I'm only one vote, I don't really have the capability to really make this all happen, but please vote for me again anyway. You know what? I think as voters, we need to tell them no. If you're not getting the job done, you know, you said you could, you couldn't, so move on. And right now, getting more and more citizens that, you know, I tell people very simply, you can't represent people you can't relate to. And that is a huge problem we have in our Congress right now. It's a problem we're having more and more in our state legislature. You know, they're really not listening to the voters. And this is a problem. So what we need is we need grassroots voters to step up, step into the arena, and run for office. And it's not that hard. It's not that complicated. And it's just a process. And we help people with that process.
But as you said, there's a lot of things people don't tell you until you're in it. And on both sides of the aisle, members of Congress are reelected at a very high rate.
Well, and that has a lot to do with the fact they've built war chests. It seems like once somebody gets into Congress, for example, the first thought is, okay, here's my issues I came in on. How can I parlay that into funding to stack up my war chest so that it'll be easier for me to win the next election? That's predominantly what they do. Rather than get in there and solve problems. Now we have a president who's literally stepped in. Everybody said, no, these are all impossibilities. You cannot do these things. And he has actually done them, which has made them all look really bad, which basically makes them look like politicians. So if anything, we need less politicians in office, more pragmatists, problem solvers.
So has President Trump's method of governing, has that kind of motivated you watching that?
Actually, I was talking like that before Trump ever got elected. It's been just a different approach, but too many people in politics say, well, this is how it's been done forever. This is how we're supposed to do it. This is how it will be done. And nobody really questions it. Well, I do, you know, and like I said, I think any person that actually gets elected office, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you need to become a pragmatist once you're actually representing the people. You need to be the problem solver, problem fixer. And if you do those things, I got news for you. There's a little side effect we call reelection. If you're doing a good job, people want to keep you there.
Have you ever had a chance to be back and look around at Washington, D.C.?
Actually, no, not recently, but I'm actually pretty excited to actually go do that. There's a lot to see and do in our nation's capital, a lot of history there, and I'm kind of into some of that. But it's a matter of kind of bracing yourself and preparing yourself. And another thing we stress on the candidates we actually help is that you want to make sure that you don't ever put yourself in a compromising position. Don't put yourself in a position to be leveraged. And that way you can actually truly represent your people.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. Paul Romero, Republican candidate for the seat currently held by Jeff Merkley in the U.S. Senate. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later today, KQEN Local Talk at 4. It's Northwest Wine Radio. Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits from around the Pacific Northwest. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, nationally known economist Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, a frequent contributor to what we do around here, is going to take a look at what's been going on in the stock market, the U.S. economy, and all things financial. Dr. Eisenberg with us tomorrow. He'll be joining us from Florida, which he has transitioned to in recent months after being near the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. for a number of years. Paul Romero, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate, the primary coming up in May. And what are the key issues that drive you, that made you really look at running?
Well, simply real representation. You know, right now we have two senators that literally do not have the ear of the president. And fundamentally, their positions are largely socialist in nature. You know, they're supporting illegal immigration. They're supporting the New Green Deal by AOC. These are unacceptable to Oregonians. In addition, they support cap and trade. And right now, that's something that would fundamentally just bankrupt most of the people in this state. There's no real consideration for the people in this state, and that's been very evident. So it's, you know, you got to fight this fight on multiple fronts. You know, there's a lot of moving parts. And like I said, fundamentally, it's not enough for me to win this U.S. Senate race. It's imperative that we actually win the legislature. We got to bring some balance back to the legislature. Without that, this is going to continue to get worse for everybody. And it includes everybody. One thing I've learned is that the pain that we're all experiencing, it's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, NAVs, everybody's experiencing the same pain. It is time for us to come together on that common ground and fix these problems. And then the things that we're different on, guess what? We can work through that. It's just about communications.
Talk about you know, what you're watching in Washington, D.C. right now. I mean, there's a lot going on.
You're referring to the...
Well, just obviously the federal response to COVID-19 and,
yeah,
things,
yeah.
And the, you know, the economy, the financial issues, all of that.
Well, the good news is this. You know, having been a broker, what I found is very simply, in this situation that people weren't involved in the what I call the Trump economy and the stock market, that was a missed opportunity. Well, guess what? Now everybody's getting that opportunity again. This stock market's going to go right back to where it was. With the $1.5 trillion injection by the Fed, you're going to see it overshoot that mark. So my advice to anybody would be definitely to stay in or get back in. The economy is strong in this country. This is one speed bump in the road, but we too will overcome this. The thing I tell people is the greatest thing about this country is also the saddest thing about this country. When things are at their worst, we are truly at our best. And right now, you're about to experience that best again. The downside, of course, is when we become complacent and we let things kind of slip through our fingers a little bit. But all things being equal, we'll get through this. And I think that our president is doing a great job. All the actions he's taken have been right in line with minimizing the effects here in this country. And sometimes you got to make the hard calls. That's part of the job. We don't call it a command decision for nothing, you know.
Some members of Congress, really in both parties, have complained in recent years in interviews I've done about how little they feel like gets done. Of course, one side blames the other for that stall, but not only a lessening of the number of days Congress meets, but the number of bills that get passed, and just the intensity of the division between both parties.
Well, you know, right now, within the Democrat Party, what we're witnessing is that there's an awful lot of JFK Democrats, and the Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK. And so there's a lot of Democrats that are very, they're alienated. They're kind of stuck in a spot where they don't really support the socialist ideology that's being embraced by the Democrat Party. And therefore, they're kind of stuck where they don't know what to do or where to go. And to me, it's a time for you know, the whole walkaway movement has been huge. And I think that division that they've been creating, the chaos they've been creating, we have to overcome that. But as Americans, we can do that. We can come together. And this is just another opportunity to do that, is how I see it.
So what are some of the differences in maybe positions or ideas between yourself and Jeff Merkley?
Well, Jeff Merkley likes to support illegal immigrants crossing our border. And, you know, what's funny is if they're so concerned about people being vaccinated for everything, right, they don't seem to be very concerned about all the illegal immigrants crossing our border unchecked that do not have vaccines. So how can you be for one thing but against the other? It makes no logical sense. Again, this creates chaos and more division. And the only way socialism operates in this country is under that, chaos and division. So it's kind of, if anything, their underlying mantra. And in supporting that, supporting cap and trade, these are all things that are fundamentally built to break down our country and take away from the American people to give to somebody else. We have to stop that. And with the influx of the Chinese ownership in property and land, farms, ranches in Oregon, this is only a small facet of what's really going on in the world in regards to that. So it's time for America and Americans to step up and turn the tides.
Jeff Merkley has been in office for a number of years. Of course, Ron Wyden, Peter DeFazio, folks like that have been in for a very long time. And it seems no matter who challenges them, they end up on the losing side.
Well, they largely have a huge war chest, and that's the first thing. The second thing is that other candidates that come up through Oregon, especially on the Republican side of the party, there seems to be a lot of funds that come into Republican PACs here in Oregon, but that money doesn't really make it to the candidates, which is an issue that we've been looking into extensively. We've been, you know, what do they say? Follow the money, right? Well, it seems like money comes in, but it then somehow disappears and goes away. So it makes it very difficult for Republican candidates. It literally hamstrings us in that way. However, because of social media, we're finding some other ways to actually overcome a lot of that. And it's a process. It's a changing process. And sometimes you just have to embrace those new things. Live streaming, interviews, just getting up there and meeting people. And we see a lot of people that have been traditionalists in their campaigning. The last 2 weeks before a primary or a general is when they bombard the airwaves. That's when they attack you. That's when they do all those things. And they think that that's enough and it gets them through. Well, it's time for the American public, the Oregonian public, to say no. This isn't that we're not just going to take what you put on the TV. We're going to at least listen to these candidates. We're going to see what they have to say. We're going to ask them the tough questions, and we're going to have to answer the tough questions. That I think is really where the political campaign is headed. And President Trump has done a great job. You know, we've taken a few lessons from him as well.
So how active has your campaign been so far, and what are you planning ahead looking towards May?
Well, right now, because of the coronavirus, we've definitely been pushing harder on setting up our live streaming channel on YouTube and doing more interaction online. The nice thing is people can do it from home. It's just a matter of people finding out where to find us. And then it's a matter of whatever meetings we will be able to have. Because we had a lot of stuff scheduled, and we've had a lot of people, NAVs, non-affiliated voters, going to be coming to an event in Redmond. They got canceled this Monday. You know, we're talking to everybody. We're talking to Democrats, everybody across the political spectrum here in Oregon. They're all pertinent. They all matter. And we're going to fix this together. You know, we have to bridge that gap. It's frustrating to me to see how the socialist element of the Democrat Party has literally just taken over, and especially in this state. And I think the public at large is starting to realize this is a problem. And the other thing I ask people is this: in the last 30 years that Democrats have run the state largely, is your life better? And the answer is no. It's actually getting worse. So you know what? It's time for a change, because I remember what it was back before then, and it was pretty dang good. So we need to get our timber industry back, and we got to fight for it.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking about a rally getting canceled that given the vote-by-mail framework and when ballots come out, and as it's likely not to change, if not maybe even last longer, with the ban on gatherings of more than 25 people, you quite possibly, and other candidates for other races, I mean, this really it changes all those little meetings that you tend to have when you're running for office.
Yeah, and like I said, but there's ways to overcome that. You know, I mean, potentially we could get a live stream broadcast and have thousands of Oregonians versus 100 in a room, you know. So the other thing is that we can get direct feedback from them and answer the questions as they come in. You know, the biggest goal we have is to make sure we answer those questions. But we also have people bringing really good information to us, sometimes things we don't actually have. And as a candidate, it's important to realize that you may not have all the details to give you the best response or answer or position, but you have to be open to that information as it comes in. Make your adjustments accordingly.
So then do you have people that are kind of helping you with the campaign?
I have a lot of people. A lot of my people that are on my campaign are kind of hidden from view. There's very few that we let people know who they are, and this is a tactical thing. And right now, with the Oregon Women for Trump, I have their endorsement, and you know they're 3,000 plus strong. And if I need anybody for anything, whether it's making phone calls, I have a huge body of people to pull from, plus all the other volunteers that have signed up through our website. And matter of fact, we're going through with a big phone push, and that just started this last week. But we're already campaigning for the general election. We're already contacting NAV voters. We're already contacting independents. And then we'll also be starting to contact the Democrats as well.
So if people wanted to get a hold of you, contact you, find out more about you, talk about your website, Facebook, et cetera.
Sure. On Twitter, you can find me at PJR, the number 4 Senate. On Facebook, my full name, Paul Joseph Romero Jr. for Congress, U.S. Senate. And then for my website, it's www.romero, the number 4, Oregon. That's R-O-M-E-R-O, the number 4, O-R-E-G-O-N.com. And if you have a question, you want to send me a text or anything, 458-256-9437. That's 458-256-9437.
All right. Paul Romero, Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, thank you so much.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.